Recordings are now started.
Thank you very much, Gino. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG EC meeting on Friday, 7th of April, 2017 at 1300 UTC. On the call today, we have Tepani Kalvanian, John Carr, Robin Gross, Consulate Ileyeji, Monica Zelner-Ruche, and from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Tepani.
Thank you, Mariam. So this is Tepani speaking. We have, the agenda on the screen, membership applications, the member removal procedures, and the list discussion requests. And this is the first time we'll be using that new membership application database interface here. And it is still a bit work in progress, as it were. So noted we, that is the team working on this, which included Joan, wanted to have the public interface pretty first and left this internal parts later. And this definitely still needs some at least rough corners polished, but I hope we can get by with it. I trust everybody has found it now. The link is on the chat. Everybody seems to be. So let's look up the individuals list first. Note that if you look at the, there's been some issues in the, immediately that there is no horizontal scroll bar. So if you have a big font and small screen, you may not see the, all the columns. So if that happens, you have just to shrink the font or find a bigger screen, I guess. So let's have a look at the individuals first. So click on the NCSG membership applications individuals if you haven't already. Let me see. The first one, Adebumni Akinbo, an individual has registered its own domain name, which is akinbo.ng. Now I'm missing one key field here. What is that? Okay, the interest statement is simply a list of items, education, mobilization, rights and obligations, privacy matters. Yeah, it is there. No reference, no affiliated NCSG member. There is a domain name, there is a LinkedIn page, there is a Twitter handle. Opinions, comments, anyone? Seems that his domain is actually simply redirects to his LinkedIn page, but it does work. So, comments? Shall I go in order? Joan? Hello. I see Monica commenting that it looks weird. In case you want to, you can, if you click on the name of the app on the applicant column, see all details given that some of them are missing. Yeah, but there isn't much. Actually, there isn't anything else in this particular case. But this LinkedIn page does indicate he works for the Nigeria Internet Registration Association, or is associated with it anyway. And I see Ponsalette commenting that you know something about him. Well, being working for a registrar does not immediately disqualify him, but it would require some explanation as to why his interest, what kind of non-commercial interest he has. So, in general, we have not made a hard rule that one's employer would disqualify them regardless of that it is, but in case of the employer is in the DNS business somehow or registered, it would require an explanation as to how it, of any. Why it have, what non-commercial interest they had. So I guess reading that everybody in the chat is suggesting we ask for explanations, so that's what we'll do. Mariam, please send him email asking for explanation. What is his non-commercial interest in the GTLD policy? Are we in agreement here? Okay, nobody wants to speak, but in the chat, Ponsalette, you want to speak. Please go ahead.
Yes, afternoon, Ponsalette speaking for the record. So within the NC, within the database we have, what do we place? We place there pending? Since we are asking for more information.
Yes, we'll put him in the pending category then and wait for his reply.
Thank you.
The database has categories, that's category just for the purpose. Robin, please.
Thanks. I just have a question about marking the evaluation remarks onto this database. The very last column on the right says evaluation committee comments, and it looks like there's a box there that we can type things into. Is that what we're to type if we individually approve or have a question, or is that something that the final or the group decision will be put into that box? I'm just kind of wondering if I need to be typing things into that box or not.
That's a good question. Actually, that was the original intent, but it seems that there is a little a glitch in this, that if several people fill in it at the same time and then save, only the latest one remains. So at least during this call, let's have Mariam fill that in for us. But the intent is that we'll actually have to work on how this... But we're hoping basically to have a checkbox for each of you to approve and so forth. But for now, let's just put them, as you can see in the below, where in some of the squares, not all of them have this pre-filled entry for our opinions there. But for now, during this call, let's have Mariam fill that in. Mariam, whenever you do, please click save every now and then so we can do what you've done, because it does not reflect on the until you save it. But we have agreed, I take it, that Mr. Adebumni Akinbo will have to explain his commercial interests. So leave him pending. Next is from India, Adabhagat Malarappa Sudhakara. I probably mispronounced it horribly, but I trust you know. We're talking about an individual user without a domain name, a cybersecurity researcher and privacy law supporter. My aim is to have internet neutrality and support for freedom of expression with healthy discussion democratically. No domain name, no LinkedIn page. And just that he heard about NCSG from conference, but doesn't say which conference. Comments? Opinions? Joan, please go ahead.
Hi, Joan. For the record, this is one that he's a researcher, so perhaps ask what his, if he has the other contact information or a website. But a lot of times researchers don't, but he may be associated with the university, for example, and just ask for more information.
Okay, I see Joan agreeing. Anybody objecting? Monica agrees and points out likewise. So again, we'll ask. Mariam, please mail him asking for more information, any website or reference or anything on it, in addition to. Note that we would like to have a web page or LinkedIn reference or something that we can see what he's been doing and asking for his research. Next, Thiago Tavares from Brazil. Again, an individual without domain name. He's a member of Cross-Community Working Party on ICANN's Corporate and Social Responsibility to Respect Human Rights, and directly involved with IG policymaking since 2005 when he founded NGO SafeNet Brazil. He refers Carlos Afonso and a board member of CGI.br. Comments, opinions? Anyone? Others? Joan, please go ahead.
Yeah, it's the same reason, we need more information, but it sounds, he doesn't have a website, but it sounds pretty good, so, to me. I don't know if we want to ask for more information so that we're clear, but it sounds pretty good to me that it's okay. So it's okay with me if we don't need more information.
Okay, we do have that reference. We could, of course, check with Carlos if he actually knows him, but that's with him. And if any others, you can also type your approval or disapproval on the chat if you like, whatever is easiest. Okay, Robin approving. Consulate. Okay, it seems everybody is agreeing. I will agree as well, so let's approve Mr. Tavares. I presume it's Mr. actually, I'm not sure. Oh well, Thiago Tavares approved. Next, Claire Craig from Trinidad and Tobago. Employed or a member of a non-large non-commercial organization. It's too complicated or I lack the standing to get my organization to join on an organizational basis. That's an unusual one, but fine in principle. ICT researcher, interested in ICT for development. Currently doing a PhD in social policy and looking at internet exchange points in the Caribbean. And I don't see any indication of which that organization is. so I think it would be reasonable to ask. And there is no website, no LinkedIn page either. Okay, I see that Robin and Joan are, at least Joan is saying that we should ask for more info. Any objections to that? No, I guess we will do that. So Mariam asked for more info and specifically asked for which is that large organization he's referring to. I see some people typing. Yes, Robin, that is a very good point. That's something we should clarify in the application form. Mariam, please make a note of that when we have a next meeting. We'll go out in that about fixing this or improving this member application form. We can put that on the agenda, clarify the text there. But we'll leave Ms. Craig and pending until we get more information. Next, Andrea Rusu from Romania, an individual internet user without domain. I started to become interested in internet governance during my master program in information and communication technology law at the University of Oslo. Encouraged by my internet governance professor, Dr. Lee Andrew Bygrave, I decided to apply for the NE, I guess that commands to NGSG, and cross-reference Stephanie Perrin. No web page, no LinkedIn page. No consulate looking at your comment in the chat. You don't have to do anything as long as Mariam makes notes about what needs to be doing. So for the time being, we'll just let Mariam handle that. Any comments on Andrea Russo? Robin seems approving. Others? Joan Ponsalet approving. Monica? Okay, let's approve Andrea Russo. We trust that Stephanie is recommending, then it's good enough. Next is Hamid Kayat from Chad. We don't have too many Chad members from Chad, I believe. An individual member referring to ISOC Chad, working at the office researcher, assistant at the National Research for Development Center, and volunteer lecturer at the University of Ghana. And through my work, I helped contribute to the creation of informed and interconnected youth that can use social media, I presume. I have to check if that form actually cuts this explanation short or something, because it seems a couple of these have been cut half in half. Mariam, please make a note of that. We'll have to check with if there is a problem in the application form that clips this half. And there is website and LinkedIn page. Comments, opinions? Robin is approving. Ponselet Monica approving. Ponselet, since you know him personally, that's good. So, oh yes, Joan, I was missed at what time you drafted. Anyway, everybody supporting him, I'll concur, we'll approve him. Next, Alastair Strachan from the Netherlands. An individual user with his own domain, apply to join Urelo. After attending ICON 58, as a fellow, as insert used every stakeholder group within the community, and the more I discovered, the more I realized that my real interest was surrounding end-user representation, youth engagement, and diversity. Reference Tatiana Tropina. Okay. Robin, you met him, you approve him as a member. So Robin approving, others? Joan approving, Ponselet approving, Monica? Okay, everybody approving, I'll concur, we'll approve Alastair Strachan. Next is Bryson Carmack. An individual user with primary interested in the policy aspects. Explanation is simply, I'm an altruist at heart. There is a website, does that work? Any comments on Mr. Carmack? The website looks interesting. It does not really provide all that much data there. Okay, it seems we need to ask for more information because that website does not really tell much and we have no understanding of what is interest in the GTLD policy is and whether it's in commercial or not. So ask for more information, Miriam, please make a note of that. Let's look at the next one. Bruna Santos from Brazil, individual user, fellowship alumni, a background in governmental issues and policymaking due to years of experience working with IG-related issues within the Brazilian government. For the past 3 years, worked as a legal advisor of the Presidency of the Republic of Brazil. That sounds governmental, but there is a LinkedIn page. What does it look like? Opinions, comments on this one?
Honey?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, Robin, please go ahead.
I'm a little bit of two different minds on this one. On the one hand, when you look at the experience, it is all in government, and you think, well, geez, maybe this person doesn't properly belong in the non-council that belongs in the GAC. But then, you know, you look a little closer, and it's like, well, you know, this is looks like it's a very young person who maybe got their initial experience in government, and I don't want to hold that against them. Renata is listed as a reference, so, you know, that kind of gives me hope as well. I'm just wondering if we want to maybe contact this person and say, now, you understand this is not a governmental thing that you need to be here to advocate for a non-commercial public interest, and this isn't part of your job, right? And just make sure there's that kind of an understanding or awareness, or I don't know, maybe that's going too far, and we don't need to do that. I'm just a little bit on the fence here, you know, because I want to give this person the benefit of the doubt and say let's give it a shot, but then I also don't want to set a precedent of, you know, starting to let people who work for government. And so I don't know. I'm a little bit on the fence here. I'd like to hear what other people think on those things.
I note that if you look, I trust you have seen the LinkedIn page. But anyway, Joan, you want to speak?
I think that the experience is with government, but they're applying for the non-commercial because they have the experience. So I had no problem with it, and I think again because Renata recommended is the recommender recommendation. I think that she would have explained to the person what the NCSG is about. So I personally think you should. I personally would approve it.
Thank you, Joan. I note that on her LinkedIn page says that she's an independent researcher in internet governance and human rights, and the reference is a university, Centro Universitario de Brasilia. So apparently not currently working for the government. So I see Joan approving. Robin was persuaded. I see that if I understand correctly, Monica approved as well. And Poncelet is typing. Okay, Poncelet's approving as well. So it seems we are in agreement. Let's approve Bruna Santos. And I must note in this connection that Renata has been really effective in recruiting new members. But that's a genocide. Moving on, we have Adela Bodea from Belgium. An individual without domain name. Currently writing research regarding children abuse and exploitation over the cyberspace. Doing research regarding the internet governance, ICANN and other organizations with the capability of shaping the internet. The policies reference Stefania Milan. And there's a LinkedIn page as well. Comments, opinions? Robin seems to approve. LinkedIn page says that project manager and associate at Ralph Bagalay Leather Creations, product design and development, but it's kind of orthogonal, I think, to the genus of interest. The Free Via University at Brussels, I think that's Free University in Flemish. See Joan, Ponsalet, Robin approving, Monica. Okay, everybody approving, I concur, will approve Adela Bodea. I know that she's there twice, actually. I guess that's a technical glitch, at least appearing in my screen. So we'll skip the second one. Don't need to approve it twice. And there's Melissa Richards from Guyana, a member of several NGOs in Guyana. One of the interesting things I found is that no one seems to be interested in the issues that affects NGOs related to internet, internet governance or policy making. Again, this explanation seems to have been quite short. Reference Renata again. No LinkedIn page, there's a Twitter handle though. Opinions, comments on Melissa Richards. Melissa, I wonder if that's a misspelling or not.
Tipani?
Hi. Yes, Robin, please go ahead.
Yes, I remember meeting Melissa in Copenhagen. Also, Renata introduced her to me. She came to one of the NCSG meetings, so I approve.
Thank you, Robin. Joan approving as well. Ponsalat, Monica. Approved. Robin, your hand is up. This is an old hand. Okay. Anyway, Melissa Richards approved. I concur with others. Again, then we have Violet Ningakun, again, probably herbal mispronunciation, but I trust you see what I mean. And a political science graduate and an academic at the University of Papua New Guinea. That's interesting. Coming from political science background, passionate about government issues and wanted to actively take part in any organization, especially and so forth. But not much in the way of reference. No LinkedIn page, no website, no Twitter. Opinions, comments on Ms.
Well, it looks like this person's email address is at the University of Papua New Guinea. So, you know, it looks like they're definitely affiliated with this university.
If they list the country as United States, it might be interesting to ask connection between them, because I'd rather like to have a member from Papua New Guinea in our list. But I see Robin approving. Oh, Marion finds a LinkedIn page. That's nice. Okay, looks good to me. It seems, please, Robin, Monica, Ponsalot. Okay, everybody's approving. That's good. It might be worth asking her if she would like to prefer to list it as Papua New Guinea member, but I guess we're trying to presume she resides in the United States now, so that's fine. So, approved. Let's move on. Shiva Upadhyay from India. Currently working on the Indian Internet Governance Forum project as a consultant. Encourage and create awareness among Indian multi-stakeholder community in general corporate policy discussion. Again, description has been cut short. Let's see, there is LinkedIn page. Research Associate at National Internet Exchange of India. There's a number of connections within ICANN people. Anyway, I see Robin is approving, Shiva, others. That was quick. Everybody approving. I agree. So, Shiva approved. Next, we have Antonella Maya Perini from Argentina. Get individual user. As an international relations specialist and a technology enthusiast, I'm interested in the area of social and political implications of the Internet. I'm participating in national, regional, international Internet-related events. Reference again, Renata. There is a LinkedIn page. Opinions, comments. It looks like Antonella is getting approval from John Ponsalot, Robin. Monica, was that expression of interest approval for Antonella or the earlier one? Okay. Everybody seems to be happy with Antonella. I concur. We approve her. Next is Patrick Essien, however that's pronounced, from Nigeria. Individual description. I'm of the opinion that the third world country should be better empowered to facilitate to advance the internet and make it a forum for the advancement of free speech. That does fit within NCSC rules, but there is no reference, no LinkedIn page, no website. Comments, opinions? Anybody know this person or anything about him? Why do I get the feeling everybody has as bad voice as I do, but I'm the only one speaking because you all keep on typing? Yes, sponsor, there is indeed no website, no LinkedIn, or anything. Casey, Bonsalet and John both saying that we should ask for more info. Any objections to that? Okay, Robin agreeing. So I guess that's what we'll do. Ask for more information. Mariam, please write to Mr. Essien and ask for some more information about the references and explanation of his interest and its non-commercial nature. Okay, moving on. That is, unless Monica wants to reject him outright, in principle you can do that, but I presume not unless you say so. Next is Freddy Manulang. or Manulang, whatever, how you, where you pronounce that, from Indonesia, references CCNSO without explaining more, well, what his relations to CCNSO is. Currently active in the civil organizations that have vision and mission to assist the government in national development and as the community aspiration media, and also involve the development of Indonesian national DNS, I presume. But references Carol Douglas, Elsa Sade, Bonwe Sutaba, and alumni ICANN fellows has LinkedIn page and its own domain too. Network System Administration at Peggy Nolan Nama Domain Internet Indonesia. Freddy.id does not seem to work. Well, maybe it's just an email address because the domain exists. And it's perfectly valid, of course, to maintain that. Joan, you want to speak? Please go.
I think he's okay because he's recommended by Carol Douglas. And hopefully that's a true recommendation. But Carol Douglas, of course, is quite active on public comments. We could ask for more information if you feel more comfortable, but I was going by the recommendation. Perhaps it's best that we ask for more information.
Okay, other opinions? So I see Consulate wanting more information. It's actually interesting if his domain name is not used for HTTP at all, so it's not a website at all, but the domain name exists. It has an MX record, so it looks like it's an email-only domain, which would be an interesting thing to do. We don't, but it's perfectly valid, of course, so nothing wrong with that. But still, I see Consulate and Joan requesting more information. Any other comments, views? Yeah, okay. I guess that's what we'll do. So, Miriam, again, request more information from Freddy about his any references and so forth, if you got any, because it's an explanation of what's his non-commercial interest as usual. Next, Claudio Lucena from the United States, an individual with his own domain name, professor at Paraíba State University Law Faculty in Brazil. I research and work in issues connecting law and technology, and I'm visiting research period in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. And again, referencing Renata as LinkedIn page. And his own website as well. Comments? I see Robin approving Claudio and Joan likewise. And Joan. And Monica, how do you stand in Claudio? Lucena, Monica, are you there? Have we lost Monica here at some point? Seems to be connecting, but I'm not getting anything. This is strange. I can see that Monica seems to be online, but to get no response. Maybe there's some technical glitch or something. Okay, let's move on and leave this pending until Monica comes back. I'll get some response later, so... Okay, Monica. Okay, Monica came back. Good. So, Claudio Lucena approved not that I concur with everybody else. He seems to be very legit academic and approved. Sponsored by Renata again. Renata has really been something. Then we have someone I think we have heard of, Matthew Shears. Preferring Rafik Damak, I see no LinkedIn page, no website. I wonder about why he doesn't list his new domain, but nonetheless. Okay. Looking at that. I'll have to report to Matthew that Robin wanted more info about him. But I guess you are, even though it was just a joke. Okay, so Robin, Ponsella, Joan approving. Monica, are you approving Matthew? Okay, I guess I find no excuse to disapprove him, so Matthew approved. After having stayed away from NCSG for almost a week. Next is Raquel Renault from Brazil. An individual as a professor in Brazil in digital culture and digital rights, a senior researcher at Coding Rights, a women-led NGO that works with digital rights and gender inclusion in Latin America, editor of an anti-vigilante newsletter. The Coding Rights, I think, is Joanna Baron is running. Again, referenced by Renata Aquino. Has LinkedIn page and two web domains. Opinions on Raquel. Robin approving. Ponsalet approving. Joan approving, Monica approving, I concur, we approve Raquel Renault. So that was the list of individuals. Now for organizations, I think we immediately see a little improvement for this form we have on the bottom. You see the navigation, we have to click view membership applications before we get to the organizations link, so we might have a shortcut there, but I trust you get to the organizations list. There are three organizations to go for applying. First is Bedrock. I see that this is a bit strange that we have seem to have data missing in these. Okay, it's in this review list is missing information that opens when you click at the applicant. You have to work on this. That the country is the United States. And the stated mission can be found there when you click it open. Incubating innovative interventions that facilitate the building of disaster-resilient communities. We evolve appropriate interventions for various local problems and working with communities and organizations at grassroots level and with external communities like research institutions, high government bodies, universities, and technology providers. We create community-based and community-owned mechanisms for enhanced disaster response, mitigation, and preparedness. We also run pilots for these mechanisms and, wherever feasible, replicate, upscale, and mainstream these for sustainable development of the coastal communities. And as a website, bedrock.in, looks okay. Comments, opinions on Bedrock? Marian, make note that this is not the display of organizational applications. Does not quite work the way it should be because the stated mission is not shown at all in the abbreviated list. So you have to click it open, and also you want to see the representations. You have to click in the relationships tab to see the people as the representative. So this is one part where we need to work on this interface, but you can find the information there. Annie George, Raja Amana. So that actually have, they are offering an alternative representative at once, and the director is listed as well, so it looks good in formal terms at least. And they are applying for NPOC, which is also not immediately obvious. You have to click at the activities column to see that, I think. So it seems that John, Monica, Robin at least have approved Bedrock. Ponsalat, is that a comment for Bedrock? I think it is, yes. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that everybody approved Bedrock. Okay, Bedrock approved. I concur with the others on that count. Second, Mariam, where did, okay, that's all we have, oh yes. Okay, I know that Mariam is marking their status immediately as we approve them, so they disappear from the list, which is, I guess, as it should be. Internet Development Initiative, IDI. IndieIN.net. Opinions on that one. Internet Development Initiative. Again in India, I think. The stated mission. The objectives of the organization activities. A, support growth concentration of the internet. B, promote the development of standards of cybersecurity and support to improve skills in cybersecurity. C, study and analyze of threats in cyberspace, write recommendations for government and private sector, public awareness raising, increase the process of protection and advocacy for internet users' rights. E, support the development of online media. F, initiative or projects of information and communications technology, search for needed technologies, analysis and promotion for implementation. G, initiative or projects with government and private sector information technology and innovation. H, support for print and online publications. And I, organizing conferences, seminars, forums in ICT and cybersecurity. And they are applying for both NCUC and NFOC, I see. And Ruben is wondering how they are funded. Have you taken a look at their website? They tell about themselves there. They claim to be a non-commercial legal entity. But I don't see details about their, anything about their funding. I guess it's not formally a government entity, so it came to be a non-commercial legal entity, but we could ask about their funding. Let's see what the... Can't see any details there otherwise. This is in Georgia, so it may not be all that trivial to determine, have an understanding which may be incorrect, that in some cases in Georgia the government's relations with a non-commercial organization is somewhat difficult sometimes, so it, or let's say complicated, so perhaps asking for details is the right thing to do. Any other opinions? An IDE. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just ask for where do they get their funds, but also how they use it, because sometimes we can get funds from organizations and they can vet, but how do they use those funds to benefit the community?
Okay. In the website, you can see a list of projects, which gives some kind of idea, but certainly more details about their, where they get their money and how they use it would be useful. So, we ask for more details. Especially, we need to know their funding source. Mariam, did you get the idea what to ask? If not, you can, I guess, check work that question with Joan. Okay, you got it. Good. Let's look at the last one, which is Lakota Light. From the United States. The stated mission is a bit unusual. It says that Dr. Kenneth Wienski is a highly regarded and experienced business and finance management executive for over 30 years. During the course of his career, Kenneth Wienski has provided moral leadership and expertise in business and finance to organizations in both the private and public sectors. Most recently, Kenneth Wienski created Lakota Light to reflect his vision of supporting the cultural traditions of the Lakota Sioux and assisting their mental, physical, and spiritual development while developing relationships that encourage self-sufficiency and shelter, food, and clothing. We have something without an email address. Which one? And the IDE, let me check. Yes, there is. I can find it, Mariam, so you may be not looking right. Looking at relationships, this official representative is Vladimir Novache. the emitters and everything. Okay, so you found it. Now back to Lakota Light. What do you think of Lakota Light?
Tipani?
Yes. Robin, please go ahead.
Yeah. It doesn't look like the website's working. It looks like it's just sort of a GoDaddy parked page. So I'm wondering what's their website, that, because it doesn't look like it's this one that they put in the application.
That's a good point. I guess in the past we have pretty much routinely rejected organizations with a broken website, but this is under construction thing. I guess we could ask them to fix that and come back to us, or if it's a temporary glitch or whatever. But an organization should have a functional website. Okay, Monica, I know that this is the last one, so let's leave Lakota Light pending. Mariam, send them an email noting that we won't approve them until their website is working, okay? So with that, we're done with the membership applications. Moving on the agenda, may I suggest we change the order of the last two items, because the last one is a simple yes-no effect and should not take a long one. Okay, so, and the member removal procedures, this requires discussion, is unlikely to result in an actual decision at this point. Any objections to that? Okay, so I see everybody agreed to keep Amr and Julf on the list, so we consider that done. Okay, let's take a look at the member approval removal procedures. Robin, want to explain it? I guess, does everybody have that Google Docs link? Just in case, here you go.
Okay, so first, let me apologize that this is not completely done, but it is most in the sense of the meat of it is there, except I want to build out the appeals part a little bit more, and it needs some formatting, some, you know, lettering and numbering and all that stuff for the formatting to make sense. But I think other than that, the heart of it, the meat of it is here. And so rather than go through all of it, because it's quite a few, you know, five pages or so of pretty dense text, I just wanted to draw people's attention to a couple of key issues that I think we need to think about and maybe come to some kind of decision at some point on. And one is something that Tapani's already flagged over in section the process for review of eligibility. And then we're talking about making a decision for terminating membership. And the issue is, do we want to change that threshold such that You know, the way our charter currently exists, by default, our decisions should be unanimous with nobody dissenting in order for a decision to be taken. However, the charter gives us the leeway, should we all decide, to adjust that threshold for certain issues. And so really the question here is this one of those issues that we want to consider adjusting that threshold, or do we want to keep it at unanimous? What I typed in there was 80%, just as really just a placeholder, because I want folks to think about, you know, because this is kind of a big deal where we would be changing what is current default on a specific issue. And there may be reasons to do it. It might be necessary in order to actually make progress. If you've always got, you know, one person who could veto any decision, then it's really hard to move forward sometimes in some circumstances. But on the other hand, on an issue like membership removal, maybe it's appropriate to have a 100% threshold. So, I could see arguments on both sides of that, on that issue, and I thought that was something we might want to discuss. So let me just... if anybody has any comments or thoughts on that issue. Looks like Ponce has majority consensus, and Tapani's asking if, for clarification, if that would be majority. I wish that would be, I don't know, what, 51% for some kind of roughly defined consensus. Oh, Ponce, please go ahead.
Thank you, Robin. Ponsley speaking for the record. I think, Robin, based on what you just said, I think if we have majority consensus on putting, like, say, two-thirds, 66%, or if we want it to be very close to 180%, as you earlier said, that would be better, because what might happen is that you just have someone, if you are looking for a unanimous 100% consensus, someone can just veto it, you know. So we don't want the things where, in terms of removal, whereby things will be stalled. If the process definitely has a genuine reason, it will pass majority consensus. So I would suggest between two-thirds, which is 66%, or 80%. That's what I just wanted to suggest. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Joan's got her hand up. Please.
Thanks, Robin. And my sense is that the vote would be the last step. So there would have been the member would have been advised on the procedure, has a time to respond. So I think 80% is way too high. Because at that point, this other steps would have been, it's in combination, right? So I think, 60%, at least an 80%, I think. But 60% was sort of my gauge, because it's more than 51% but less than 80, and it's in combination with the other steps as well. So just wanted to say that. I thought 80 was too high.
In that case, John, I have to comment. 60% means that neither constituency alone can prevent an expelling a member. Are you sure that's exactly what you want? 60% means six members. So that could mean theoretically that one constituency alone could purge the other one without
being able.
So that's why I think 80% makes more sense if we want such a limit.
Okay, so it involves everyone. I see. Sorry. Yes, I agree then in that point, so that it is fair to the person that's being removed. Okay. I agree with the 80% then.
Although I still see that it's not obvious why we need to deviate from the full consensus in this case. I try to think of reasons for doing so. Of course, in the general point Robin made is very good, that full consensus requirements makes things difficult, but that's intentionally there in our charter to begin with. So why would this be an exception? I can think of the argument that the very same reason that means that we need to have full consensus in approving members should on there make it easier to remove them, but the requirement of having approving or keeping a member should be a high threshold. So in that case, I kind of understand the notion that we should have a lower threshold for expelling someone. Even though I don't really see the need, I can't easily see a situation where it would matter. As I said, if we keep it in 80%, then that means that one dissenter won't block it. And if we go to 60%, then we ended up with a situation where one constituency can be overridden. So I don't see this as a significant issue, but I'm happy with either 80% or full consensus. I know, though, that this procedure is something that we need to get approval from the full membership later on. It's not we can't decide it on by ourselves. It explicitly says so in our charter.
Yeah, Tipani, that's actually something else that I wanted to talk a little bit about is sort of like the process for this moving forward. So let's say that this committee gets a document that we're comfortable with in the next, 2 weeks or something, then presumably we would say, okay, we've got something, we're going to put it out to the membership to get some feedback on, and I don't know. I mean, the charter says we need to put it out for approval, but it's also pretty, it leaves us a lot of flexibility with respect to what does that actually mean. So I'd be curious to see if anyone had any thoughts about how we should do this in terms of that approval process. I'd prefer not to, spend too many more cycles on it, lots of iterations, but we do have some flexibility to design that approval process in a way that I think will make sense for us. So I don't know. I would say let's try to get something that we are comfortable with finished in the next week or two, and then we'll put it out for the list and then say, okay, unless we get significant objections to this is what we're going to do, sort of a speak now or forever hold your peace, and then leave it up to people to comment if they have comments or not if they don't. I don't know, that's just my suggestion, but we can design this, I think, with a lot of flexibility.
Change will be subject to membership approval. It does not require that we should have a formal vote or anything. We can do it simply by, the way you suggest or some other means. Ponsalat, do you want to speak?
Yeah, Ponsalat speaking for the record. I just want to say, based on what Robin has said, if we come to AGA as soon as possible on this document, in taking it out to the membership, we should just create a small survey monkey or something, and whereby people can just tick they agree or they don't agree, and majority consensus gets the document approved. Because if we are going to wait for various comments to come in from the membership, it's going to drag, as we know, as sometimes print is drag within the NCSG.
Thank you, Ponsalat. I have a feeling that the membership may have some ideas that they will not like some details on this and want to suggest changes, but definitely let's get this to a form that looks good enough for us, then throw it out to the membership, but that's a comment, and I think we may have to get at least one round after that general discussion and then get approval for membership. I think the processes would be enough that we get to the point that where nobody expresses explicit disapproval on the discussed list, or at least not too many. Maybe we set a threshold of a number of people, and if too many object, then we can't change it to such a form that there are no more significant objections from too many people, then we'll have to put it for a vote. But I don't think that will be necessary. But I think we will need to have a discussion on the list, and I rather expect that we will have to make at least some changes, some details we have missed or something. But it does look reasonably good to me at this point, so maybe we could simply now send the link to the NCSG Discuss and ask people to comment and say that please come up with whatever you think, complain, comment about anything, and then see what happens from that. Yes, Robin, prettifying it would be welcome, although having it as a... actually, yes, it would be nice to have something we can post to the list as such for the record, but still leave it in the Google Docs for editing. There were a few open issues there that I wanted to comment on. You are referring to including any alternate members in a couple of places. Robin, would you explain what you mean by that? Because our charter does not speak of any alternate members.
Right, right. What that refers to is earlier in the document, it says that if one of the members of the executive committee is going to be one of the requesters of a review process, then they would recuse from that decision, and their the constituency that they represent would appoint an alternate for that decision. So that was, you know, you're right. It's not something that's in our charter, but it's something that is being proposed here, that such that, you know, we wouldn't have a constituency that didn't have their representative on the or both representatives. It doesn't have two representatives on the decision making. Because one had to recuse themselves, for example, so we get to the constituency can appoint an alternate for that decision. So that was the proposal, but yeah, it's not a specific thing in our charter. It would just be an alternate for this decision. I hope that makes sense, and I didn't just confuse things more.
Yes, I can see that you are. That is not, I think that's not exactly well, okay, that would need a clarification here in the text that may be replaced by an alternate representative. That means that we'd ask the constituency XCOMS to appoint alternate to the... Also, when you say that members who are signatories on the request for review shall recuse themselves, I'm not quite sure if that is necessary. I would like to have opinions that if we want to remove someone, then the EC members can take initiative on that, but that means then they'll have to recuse themselves, and it results in this kind of extraordinary arrangement of that requesting alternates, which are not provided for in our charter. That's a bit complicated thing. Anybody else have opinions on this? Is this a good way of doing it in the first place? And if so, should we phrase it here to make it clear that it actually works? So that's something I suspect will be picked up by some of the people who are more into process amongst our membership. One thing we might also do is that when we ask for, if it turns out this team is more controversial than it is, that end up, well, sorry, my voice is fading. But some way or one way or another, we'll have to get more people in the membership involved in this. So we could use this as is. And this is the first tentative proposal, making it clear that we want comments and we expect to be rewording this and send it out without much further ado. Because wordsmithing it amongst ourselves may take longer and we'll have to put it out to the membership at large anyway. Or should we take, say, 2 weeks within each other or until our next meeting, see if we need to review. Yes. John?
Yeah, this is Robin. I feel like it's not quite ready for putting it out yet. I worry that in its current form, it's going to just maybe cause a little bit more confusion. Do you give me another week or two just to, you know, dot all the I's and cross all the T's? And I think it will be better in the long run. I just worry that putting it out quite like this is you know, it's just going to cause people to be confused because it's just not quite tight the way I want it to be before it goes out to people.
Joan, your hand is up.
Yes, it's Joan. I agree. Robin, I agree with Robin that just a bit of tidying up. But I right now, I feel uncomfortable to say anything because I think that I'm not sure about the decision making, and I think that if we send it out after Robin cleans it up a little bit and have feedback from the membership from a draft document, it might help us more. So that I just want to put that on there, and maybe just reading it. I read it this week a few times. Of course, I was busy and was tired, but I agree. If we should just tidy it up a little bit, and then maybe we'll read it again in a week or so and send it out to the membership, I'd probably feel more comfortable.
Okay, it seems we agree it's not quite ready for publication yet, but let's make a timeline so that give Robin, say, 2 weeks to tidy it up. Then we'll look it up and send it. Still, we have to discuss it either on the list or, if failing that, next meeting, say, in 1 month. We might have to agree on that, by the way, too, so we could then put it out. If we say too long, if we delay it until our next meeting,
yeah, let's try not to delay it to our next meeting, but let's try to do the work on the list, and then whatever doesn't get done on the list, you know, if we have to, we can do it at our next meeting. But you know, this has been in our queue for so long. I've been, you know, working on it and prepared to finish this up here in the next 2 weeks, and so let's get it out.
Okay, so it'll give you 2 weeks to have it in the way that you feel is pretty enough when we discuss it on the list and decide when if we are happy with it and then send it out. And but give our next meeting as the final deadline. If we can't agree on the list, then we'll finish it there to the point we can send it out. Is that okay? If you get it, we are happy with it on the list, fine. If not, discuss it there. And with while at it, the next meeting, I was thinking of May 5, tentatively. If everybody is happy with that, we could already agree on that at this point, by the way. 4 weeks from now. Is this time okay for us, well, everybody, then? This is just about one of the very few hours in the day that is not between midnight and 6 a.m. for everybody, although I guess it's already past midnight for Monica now. I'm waiting to hear Monica agree because this is bad time for her. Okay. We'll wait a while until confirming with tentatively next meeting on May 5. And for this process, we agree that Robin will tidy it up, not as on the list, when she thinks it's ready. We'll discuss it in the list, and if we agree it's good enough, then we send it out, and if we don't, we'll talk it in our next meeting and then send it out for the general public. Okay? And that's it on the agenda tonight. Any other business anybody wants to bring up? Okay, one thing I noted, if you have any comments that occur to you about this CVCRM form that we haven't noticed yet, please send me an email, or Joan is also on the team, and we'll be working on that, try to make it easier. To do. Okay. Well then, we're done. Thank you, everybody. Good day, good night, whatever, whenever you happen to be.
Okay. Good day. Bye, y'all.
Thank you very much, everyone, for attending the call. Joni, you may stop the recording and disconnect all lines. Thank you very much for your time today. Goodbye.